devil, you can't kill my son. Not even through the legal system. Amen. Say with me, devil.
You
can't kill my son.
Not even through the legal system.
Our scripture will be found in the book of 1 Kings chapter 3, starting on verse 16. Often I stop and I think about a mother. I am not a mother. I will never be a mother, as you know. So I will never be able to carry a child on my womb because I don't have a womb. But often I stop and I think about how must be for a woman to carry a human being on their womb for 9 months, feeding out of her, growing within her. And then I can share now with the joy of having that newborn baby in your hands. I can share with the joys of that first laughter. I can share with the joy of hearing the word mama, or papa, or daddy for the first time. That's such a cute boy that you have, which in your eyes is the most beautiful boy in the world. I used to fight my neighbors because they said their kids were the most beautiful. I said, you must be out of your mind. Have you seen my boys? And they were. Some of the girls said, they still are. It's up for discussion. But you know, nobody can fight that feeling, especially a mother, of holding you, your newborn baby, a human being that you carried within you for 9 months, that now comes to life. A life that can be a change to society. A life that can affect the very, very core of a nation. You with me, right? And yet, often the devil will try to take away that joy from a mother. The sad part of it is that the majority of the mothers does not know or does not understand that they have the power to stop the devil. Amen. Y'all not listen to me. The majority of the mothers have the power to stop the devil on his track, even when the child is conceived in the wrong way. Does that mean now that I'm going to go out there and be messing up with every punk that I've met, that I meet, and then I'm going to be pregnant, and then I'm going to stop the devil? No. No. I believe that prayers are the very first step to be taken in any and every situation in our lives. Say, pray is the first step. Nevertheless, the Lord has established magistrates and other legal authorities above us to resolve things when necessary. And we are commanded to obey them as long as they will not require us to deny our faith, because our first allegiance is to our God. Now, often you see me take on politics. And now you're talking about a magistrate. There's a difference. There's a difference between politicians and magistrate. What is the difference? Politicians has been placed over us because of our stubbornness and unwillingness to submit to God. Magistrates has been established by God to conduct orderly affairs in our lives. Where did you get that from? From God. That's no biblical basis. Yes, there is. God was ruling over Israel. And he chose Moses. Say amen.
Amen.
As their very first leader. And Moses killed himself. And his father, a black man, came in and said, "Dude, you're killing yourself." "What? You're killing yourself. You're here from daybreak until sundown. I mean, go take care of your kids and your wife." "But the people is coming to me." "Well, appoint magistrates over thousands. Thousands of thousands. Over hundreds. Over 50s and over 10. So they can resolve their disputes among themselves." And the idea seems good before God and Moses. And then we had magistrates established over God's people. Are you following me so far? God wants to be, or he wanted to be, the supreme ruler over his people. And it worked fine as long the people remained faithful to God. Everything works perfect. At one point in life, God's people decided to look like everybody else out there. They were all conservative. Now they want to become Democrats and Republicans. "Give us a leader like every nation around us." And this is where the problem comes. When we start willing to look like everybody out there, guess what? It's going to be a hefty price. God said, "Okay, I'll give you a king. But I'll tell you this. They're going to tax you heavy. Especially if they're Democrats. They will take your daughters and your sons. They will take your land. They will take everything that you have. And you can't say anything." Politicians comes to rule our lives because of our stubbornness and undesire to remain under the rulership of God. So order has to be established. Then you have magistrates who are judges. People set in place to resolve the affairs of the communities. Watch this. Brother Harry, give me up there. Let's start with Ezra 7:25. Watch this. "And you, Ezra, according to your..." Third graders, let's try it again. "And you, Ezra, according to your..." "Set..." The work of a magistrate is not only to rule over the people, but is also to teach the word of God. The work of a magistrate is to judge the people, according to their knowledge of the laws of God. Aren't we far away? Because they need the magistrates, no governors, presidents, senators, House Representative, they are throwing the knowledge of God through the window. It's disgraceful now. Anywhere where you go now, you see a man kissing another man. Repugnating. Because some lowlifes in position of authority decide that God was wrong. "And you, Ezra, according to your God-given wisdom, set magistrates and judges who may judge all the people who are in the region beyond the river, all such as know the laws of your God, and teach those who do not know them. I thought that was a preacher. Preacher can do that too, but in this case here we're talking about judges and magistrates. Which means, if you're going to be biblical in the sense of the word, guess what? You're supposed to know the Bible. Which tells you and me that we should put on power people who knows the Bible. Amen. You know, some of you think I'm Republican. I'm not. Actually, I find one of the most, if not the disgusting party in the country. They're rubber legs. They bent backwards very quick. Cheap faith. So what are you? I'm conservative. I'm biblical. I will vote for any candidate that hold up the scriptures. Whether you're Democrat, Republican, Independent, whatever, La Madre, I'll vote on you. As long as you hold high God's principles. Because this is what magistrates are supposed to do. What does it got to do with my son? When you have wicked people in power, your son can become a victim of their wickedness. It doesn't stop here. Let's go a little bit further. Let's go to Acts 16:19. Watch this. But when her masters saw that their hope of profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to the authorities. This is where injustice may happen. This man here is being anointed by a demon. So he finally got fed up. Get out of her. She falls back, demon goes out, no more profit. The very first thing that the owners of that slave girl did, called the politicians and dragged Paul into the market in their presence. And they, I don't want to go on this another time. They beat up Paul. They at one point said, whoa, threw them in jail. Next day, well, we cannot do anything. Just release them. So when the guys come to release them, say, whoa, wait a minute. You think that you're going to beat us up without even judging our cause? Without even knowing why we're brought in? And then you want to let human citizens like citizens, Roman citizens, to be released on the dark? No, they have to come themselves and take us out. And the Bible said that they were shooken, huh? Because they knew they were Roman citizens. One of the fellows said, you're a Roman citizen? It cost me a great sum of money to be a Roman citizen. Well, I got it for free. I got it by birth. And they went, they said, oh, I'm sorry so much, you know. I'm sorry. Oh, come on, let's go. And they walked them out of jail in front of the eyes of everybody else. This is politicians. They can have an effect on the life of our children. In this case here, these boys got beat up without even being judged. In Suriname, they have a police task that when these guys come on scene, I've seen big men start shaking and pee themselves. Because their rule is they come and start beating up people until blood is all over. And then they say, what happened? That's what they do. So when they hear about that police coming, people disband. Because they know they're going to get the beat of their life. How did that happen? The politicians create what they call riot police. And the riot police, they don't come and ask questions or try to get you disperse. They just come in and start whipping. Boom, boom, boom. And they come like bees. They swarm the place and they start beating up people like crazy. Now, you have a crowd of 3,000 people and you got 1,500 of this guy that about 7 feet tall, 500 pounds of muscles. Wham, 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 wham. You got blood all over the place. So when people hear about the police chief coming, everybody flee. And the ones that can't flee is the one who got beat the most. Once they are tired of beating up people, that's what happened. Why did you guys call us here? When we have the wrong people in place, our children can be affected. Just like this man here were affected. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans 13. Let's start on verse 1. Watch this. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by God. So that's a contradiction what you're saying. No, it's not. Because you and I have decided to willingly remain outside of the scope of God's leadership. God had to set rulers in place, authorities, to hold back the craziness in every country. And if you don't want to obey God, you're going to have to obey the authorities. Are you with me? You don't want to obey God? But good enough. You're going to have to obey the authorities. Because God placed them there to keep order. Listen to verse 5. It's even more interesting. Therefore, you must be subject, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake. Which means, if you owe taxes, pay your taxes. Pay your taxes. Plain and simple. Pay your taxes. I don't like to pay so much taxes. Go back to God. Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. God is going to give you an idea how you can use that money to the benefit of others and pay less taxes. Is anybody listening to me here?
Amen.
Now listen to verse number 6. For because of this, say what? Unfortunately, today we pay a lot of taxes and we don't get much out of government. Did you know that I pay 48 cents for every dollar that I make? You make a lot. No, I don't. But because I'm a clergy, there's a clergy taxes that my beloved president just instituted when he came in. It started with a low life in 1993. He created the clergy tax, which was $1,000. Whether you make whatever they call enough or not, we used to pay $1,000 tax. Then we get Mr. Bush coming into power. It went to $1,500. Then our beloved president on his first year made it $3,000. And then on his second year, he made $4,500. By the end of his first term, it was $5,000. This past year was $7,000. So for every dollar that I make, it takes 48 cents. Combine state and federal and local taxes. So for every dollar that I earn here, I get only 52 cents. Am I happy for that? Absolutely not. But it says here that I should pay my taxes. They are God's ministers attending continually to do this very thing. When the people choose to go out the scope of God's leadership, they will pay heavy taxes. Say amen.
Amen.
And we are seeing this happening right before our very eyes. We have a generation right now that did not have godly mothers that could intercede on their behalf. We have a bunch of young kids right now that were born out of horary. Born of what? Horary. Whore. Hordery? Like child of a whore? Holotry? That's what it's called? So we have a bunch of kids born out today of holotry. And because they were born out of holotry and the mothers were not willing to go to their knees before God and intercede on behalf of those very children, they put in power people who doesn't know the law of God because they themselves don't know the law of God. And as a result of this, those of us who are sleeping in our boots, we will pay high taxes along with them. This, the very thing that they continually do, make sure that taxes are raised. You know, I'm no politician, but it takes no brainer. If we take the help that we give to the Pakistanis to keep them cool so they don't bomb us, and the money that we put in Afghanistan, and the money that we give to the Egyptians, and the money that we give to Saudi Arabia, and the money that we give to Qatar, all together, it will come in a couple trillions of dollars. If you take all 50 states, divide $3 trillion for 50 states. Are you with me here?
Yes.
If you divide 50 states, it's going to be enough to have $100 billion almost to every state to create at least 1,000 factories and employ every single American person. But because we have politicians that are not God-fearing people, your children will suffer that. We are suffering that, paying high taxes, and it's going to get. The further we get away from God, the worse it will get for those who don't know God. I thought you just said in the beginning of the service that things will get better and better for those who are under the leadership of God.
Amen.
For those who are under the leadership of God, does not matter who is on the White House. God will take care of them. But even in church, we have kids today that are stupid. They will stop coming to church to go out to a movie theater on Friday night or Saturday night with their friends, come home at 2 o'clock in the morning, and then they can't get up in time to come to church on Sunday because they're like, "Mom, I'm not going to church today. I'll go next Sunday." Say amen.
Amen.
You know it's true. So what do we do? As for you and I, we can play a role on things. Before I start on Kings, let's go to Titus 3:1. Paul Santos, remind BCFC to be subject. So, you're talking against politicians, now you're telling us to obey. You don't have a choice. God told you to obey. I'm reminding you now to obey your magistrates and your rulers. Because they are the very ones who will have a say on the life of your children. When you get to get married, you don't go to the White House. Is that right? You go downtown. And there's a magistrate there that will marry you. Isn't that right? Let's go to 1 Kings, chapter 3, verse 16. Nevertheless, careless people may try to snatch our blessing away from us. And it may be okay to use the legal system as long we remain loyal to our God. He may use these very magistrates to give us victory in every situation. Nevertheless, sincerity before your God will play a big role on the outcome of your children's case. And here it is. As a topic number one you have in there, the escort service in the days of old. Did you hear what I said? The escort service. How many of you know what's an escort service? Well, for those of you who don't know, it's a whorehouse. Some good-looking girls don't want to obey God, don't want to be mom and daddy. They will go to this place and they will go out with politicians, they will go out with rich people, and they got paid a hefty sum, and then they come back and pretend that nothing happened. It's an escort service. How do you know that? Because I read. You know, it's one of my favorite things, reading. In the days of old, we had an escort service too. It was not as sophisticated as it is today, but we had. Now, two women who were harlots came to the king and stood before him. Now, the New Living Translation has it interestingly. Watch this. Sometime later, two prostitutes came to the king to have an argument settled. I don't think we have people here that are inclined to the prostitution world. But for those who will be listening to me on the internet, the prostitution world is a tough world. And sometimes, even in the prostitute world, things have to be settled before a magistrate. Now, the Backslider translation has it in a crazy way. The very next thing, the prostitute showed up before the king. Let's go to verse 17. The one woman said, "My master, this woman and I live in the same whorehouse, in the same house. While we were living together, I had a baby." Verse 18. 3 days after I gave birth, this woman also had a baby. That's escort service in the day of old. But women would go to the place, prostitute themselves, and they got pregnant. 3 days apart. So business was flourishing. The bad part of it is, you've got pregnant, you gave birth, but yet we were alone. Prostitution life is a lonely life. No matter how many men they may have gone through, at the end of the day, they are alone. And you know, I've been a father for 30-something years. We have had 5 children. And I can only imagine how tough it is for a mother to have a baby and be there alone on the time of birth. And that is not on the picture. So this serves as a wake-up call for the ones in here that has not yet had a baby. Make sure you don't go this path. But he's so cute. And you're going to be cutely lonely with a baby. We were alone. There wasn't anyone else in the house, not even mom and dad, my mother-in-law, my sister-in-law, nobody. Only the two of us with 2 newborn babies. Except for the 2 of us. You know, both got pregnant, both delivered, both had to fend for themselves with the children of Hollow Tree. Listen to the next scripture. The infant son of this woman died one night when she rolled over on him in her sleep. How could a mother do that? Well, when you are outside the scope of God's family, when you are outside the kingdom of God, the devil will take you into deep sleep. I'm not talking to sleep like, no. I'm talking into a deep spiritual sleep. We could easily say this symbolizes the deep spiritual sleep that prostitutes are involved with. Otherwise, you would understand that your body is not made to be sold. Your body is precious. So precious that God calls it the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know, if the sisters would have a clue about it, you would not wear a miniskirt. You showing up the temple of the Holy Spirit and enticing people to attack you, to lust after you. And you may call me old-fashioned, thank you. I'll take it as a compliment. But we would do better, sisters, if you would cover yourself. I am the defender of the theory that no man has to know your curves, how your body looks like, except your husband. The Orthodox people will go even a step further. You never know what is the color of an Orthodox woman's hair. they will have a wig. Then in the night, after the doors are all shut, then she pulls out of the wig and her husband can enjoy the beauty of her hair. No other man will. You can look at most Orthodox women walking in Pikesville. They have a big, I call bed sheet, wrapped upon around their head. Not you, Sister Sue. You're not Orthodox. You're not Orthodox. I'm talking about the Orthodox sisters in Pikesville. Or they will have a wig. All the time. Only at night, when the doors are closed, nobody else is coming in, they pull out their wig, their husband can enjoy. And that is found in the book of Songs of Song. That's where it's taken from. But the point that I'm trying to make here is a very simple point. When somebody is not within the scope of God's family, they will be in a deep sleep. This woman rolled over her baby while she was asleep and she did not perceive. Isn't that something? Verse 20 says, she got up in the middle of the night. That's an interesting thing. She killed her baby while she's sleeping. Then once the baby is dead, she wake up. She got up in the middle of the night and took my son while I was sound asleep, mind you. Now, how do you know that she did that if you were sound asleep? You see what I'm saying? It sounds to be a contradiction, but it is not. Why? Because the other girl did not refute the theory. This is how you know it's truth. And put him at her breast and put her dead son at my breast. Some women are not ready to be mother. Some women became mother before time. And usually when you become mother before time or in the wrong way, the child is the one who's going to suffer. Let's go to the next verse. When I got up in the morning to nurse my son, here was this dead baby. But when I looked at him in the morning light, I saw immediately that he wasn't my baby. Even good mothers who at time sleep deeply and not be aware of what is happening to their boys. Say amen. The beauty about this verse here, verse 21, is that every mother that has, let me choose the right word here, not to be beat up after service. Every mother that has the tenderness of a mother will always know her child. Despite of being a heavy sleeper. Cross-examination determined that the living baby was the one that she had. And now we have a problem. She got my living baby and put that baby in my arms. And wait, whoa, this is not my boy. Yes, it is. No, it's not. Yes, it is. And the fight broke through. Sometimes it's not worth your fighting with your neighbor over your son. Get the magistrate involved. Here is the case where a mistake was made by other people that could have cost the life of Miss Deep Sleeping Mom. Instead of fighting the other woman or killing the other woman, going to jail and losing the baby, she brought the case before the king. You know, it may have been the case that your son may have been victim directly or indirectly of misbehavior of other people around you. And as a result of this, the legal system was called in to act. What do you mean? Maybe your son is dumb enough not to listen to you. And got caught in a police raid along with some punks that were selling drugs, or that were carrying drugs, or that were using drugs, and everybody got locked up. What do you do in a situation like this? Bring your case before King Jesus. Listen to the next verse. Not so, said the other woman. The living one is mine. The dead one is yours. Now, the first lady, she knew that the dead baby was hers, right? But sometimes when the mothers that do not fear God make a mistake, they will go to the point of lying, putting somebody else's children in jeopardy. And this is where you have to stand your ground. Say amen.
Amen.
You have to stand your ground. The living one is mine, the dead one is yours. The first woman countered. No, your son's the dead one. Mine is the living one. And they went back and forth this way in front of the king. What that means? They are now before the magistrate. They are arguing. How do we know who is who? There was no DNA. Huh? Two people live in the house alone. Both of them heavy sleepers. One killed the son, the other one has a life, and the other one swapped the son. And here's this brawling before the king. Here comes the ruling. Next verse. The king said, what are we to do? This woman says, the living son is mine, the dead one is yours. And this woman says, no, the dead one is yours, and the living one is mine. Verse 24. After a moment, the king said, bring me a sword. They brought the sword to the king. Let me tell you this. The authorities will never be easy on your children. I'll say it again. The authorities will never be easy on your children. What do I do? Get busy talking to King Jesus on behalf of your son. What about my daughter? Do the same if you have a daughter. Last week we learned, Dev, you can't have my daughter. So today's Dev, you can't have my son. Not even through the legal system. Because of the mistake that was made, because of this whole brawling, you did. She did the right thing. They didn't fight. They didn't kill each other. They didn't pull a knife to each other. They didn't shot each other. They went before the king. If you find yourself in a situation where your son is involved in a mess, what is through his own stupidity, or because unrighteousness has been done to your son, the best thing you can do, bring the case before the magistrate. And then bring the case before King Jesus. But you always remember the previous scriptures that we read before, that the magistrate will not give them a free pass. It's going to be tough. The sword will come, and the sword can cause pain. The sword can pierce through. Bring the sword. In verse 25 it says, then he said, cut the living baby in two. Give half to one, half to the other. The penal system, the justice system, don't have favorites. Say amen.
Amen.
They don't have favorites. And they'll make sure that they cut through your child to put a mark. I hear you saying that. What do I do? Relax. Is there a hope? Absolutely. Absolutely. I met a sister that had a son, was one of the stubbornest boy I have ever met. I went to talk to him, and he cussed me out straight out. I said, you know what? I feel sorry for you. You don't have to feel sorry for me. You know, this young boy, dumb boy, is 20-something years old. He's on the gym. He's all puffed up. And he walks like, you know, Arnold Schwarzenegger. He's walking. Well, he got caught. riding with someone, and the driver had a pot in the car. When the lights flashed on, the driver tossed the marijuana on the back and stopped. Cops come in, and the brawling came in. Man, tell them this thing is not mine. What are you talking about? I don't know what you're talking about. Sir, I don't have this weed. It's his. He tossed it back here. You crazy? You come in my car with weed? Long story short, they lock all of them. But the cop assigned to him the possession of the weed. And then he was sent to the guest house, vacation home, downtown. And on his first week, because he's all puffed up, think he's the big guy, got beat up by the gang that rules the prison. And they beat him into humility. Got a phone call. Can you ask the preacher to come and pray for me? I said, he cussed me out when I tried to talk to him. I didn't go, but I spoke to him on the phone. Please, please, please pray for me. Get me out of here. I don't want to be in this place. I promise once I come out, I'm going to serve Jesus. Wow. That's good. That's good. And we did pray for him, and he was released 3 months later. This boy today is a grown-up man. He's one of the most faithful boys in the Church of the Living God. It didn't come out right away as he wants. Mama had to burn a lot of knees on behalf of her son. The justice system will pierce your children in half. Jail is no vacation home. And when they get in there, especially those who are all puffed up, think they are the king of the hill, they are beaten into submission, into humility by the population in there. So why? Is that right, brother? So you hear what I'm talking here? So what do we do when we have a child that is facing the justice system? Verse 26. Sisters, pay attention to this. The real mother of the living baby was overcome with emotion for her son. You gotta show some emotion before King Jesus on behalf of your boy. What do you mean? Turn off the stinking TV and the computer and the gossip line and your cell phone and show some emotion before King Jesus. It is your son. And dad, you better join in. Oh no, master. Give her the whole baby alive. Don't kill him. What is this? A yearning supplication out of a mother's heart. You know, you can touch God's heart if you are yearning earnestly on behalf of your son. We are witnesses of this. We've seen that happen time and over again. I think you can do better by living a godly life, an exemplary life, teaching you boys right now the Word of God so you don't have to go through this roller coaster. But if it ever comes to that point, you know, a yearning heart can go a long way. And that yearning heart was actually what decided the fate of this boy. How many times will he have mothers come, please, please pray for my son. You know, he's in jail, that God can touch his heart. While you are fattening yourself at Burger King, put off the burgers and fast 7 days for your boy, that God will change his heart. You know, put in some early emotion and supplication before King Jesus on behalf of your child. But the other one said, if I can't have him, you can't have him either. Cut away. Somebody said, this is a symbol of the devil. Yes, you could look at it that way. The devil actually don't want your child for himself. He just want to get your child away from you. He can steal your joy. He can steal your happiness. He can steal your life. I don't care how bad a parent may be, when one of your child is suffering, is being hurt, it's gonna hit you in one way or another. But I would say that this is more like the legal system. This is how the legal system will do. We don't care. Cut him away. Kill him. Now, the New Living Translation put it in a very nice way. Let's read it. It's not a New Living Translation. I was thinking about the Never Inspired Version. But anyway, the woman who was the real mother of the living child, and who cried out. If you really love your child, you will not allow the legal system to destroy. You're going to cry out to God on behalf of your son. If you really love your son, you will cry out to God on behalf of your son. Oh no, my Lord. Give her the child, please. Do not kill him. No mother who truly love her son will be delighted to see her son being killed. She'd rather give it to God than to see the child being killed. So what do? Cry out to God out of love on behalf of your child. But the other woman said, all right, he will be neither yours nor mine. Divide him between us. This is how the system looks at your child. Something just like a thing. An indifferent thing. Now, the Never Inspired Version, even them, has it in an interesting way. Watch this. The woman whose son was alive was filled with compassion for her son. I love that. Look to another woman and say, I hope compassion abounds in your heart. Come on, say like you mean it. And she said to the king, please, my lord, give her the living baby. Don't kill him. Maybe she'll turn around and say, may God never allow the system to kill your son. But the other said, neither I nor you shall have him. Cut him in two. Tell your neighbor, my child will not be cut in two.
My child will not be cut in two.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Finally, verse 27. Then the king gave his ruling. Here comes the ruling. Give the living baby to the first woman. Do not kill him. She is his mother. How did that happen? A true, earnest, compassionate, heartfelt love for your son will lead you to beg before the King of Kings on behalf of your son. And God, through you pleading, will interfere on the destiny of your child.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to what the following verse says. Watch this. And this is a lesson for those of us who vote in candidates that are not godly or God-fearing people. When all Israel heard the verdict that the king had given, they held the king in awe because they saw that he had this is why you and I supposed to put in power people that are God-fearing, people that love God, so that your children and my children will not suffer the injustice of wicked rulers in our lifetime. Say amen. Come on.
Amen.
So what's the conclusion, preacher? We could ascribe different titles to the killing woman all day long. That means the mom that slept over her son. I'd like to say that, in a way, the second woman is a resemblance of our modern system and way of life. What do you mean? Kill and destroy it. Our modern system, in the name of convenience, will murder 40 million babies every year in this country. Every year. I was reading recently, and they are projecting that this year, with the implementation of this new nonsense law coming up, the number will double to 80 million babies that will be murdered in this country. I hope they're wrong. I really hope they're wrong, because the blood of those children will be crying out before the throne of God. And if this is true, you better expect more tornadoes, more hurricanes, more floodings, more disasters, more crazy weather. But we, as God's people, have to set the standard. You don't want to raise a child? Wait until you get married. Your career, your body does not and is no longer the most important thing once you willingly allowed somebody to impregnate you. You're carrying a life. Maybe the legal system is giving a hand to a lot of women today to murder their babies. But there will be consequences for that. You just can't get away from it. They resemble the lifestyle of today. They also resemble the devil, who came to kill, to steal, and to destroy. I have counseled few women that went through abortion. And it's one of the most miserable experiences a woman can experience. But when you come before the King, He is always open to listen to your prayer. He's always open arms, waiting for you to turn back home. At the end of the day, we can all agree, whether it's publicly or in private, that God never intended for children to be brought forth into this world in such a manner as these two boys were. Unfortunately, one of them didn't make it. And in a way, he is better off because he's with God. But I'm saying today to my congregation, if by any chances a child will come into this world this way, troubles may start from the get-go. What kind of trouble? Loneliness. Nevertheless, always remember that you can settle your case before King Jesus. He is the God of opportunity. He is the righteous judge. And you know what? It may take some serious and deep yearning, bountiful tears before the King. At the end, truth will prevail. Why? God is a righteous God. And He will judge the cause of the humble. Therefore, I ask you to stay with me. Devil! You cannot have my boy.
You cannot have my boy.
You cannot kill my son.
You cannot kill my son.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I am challenging you, sisters and brothers alike. Perhaps you have a child that is involved now with the justice system, the penal system. Perhaps it's time now to allow some bountiful tears to roll down in your face on a deep earnest plea to God on behalf of your son. And perhaps there's somebody here this morning that feels convicted with the Holy Spirit. That's time to make reconciliation with God for whatever happened in the past. God is a righteous God, and He's also a righteous judge. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us all our sins and to cleanse us from all our iniquities. Maybe somebody wants to give their life to Jesus today so they will not make that mistake in the future. So I want to ask the church to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if there's somebody here this morning that would like to give your life to Jesus, so you want to go through this, I want you to raise your hand so we may pray for you. Or somebody would like to reconnect with Jesus. Perhaps you messed up already, but thank God you didn't get pregnant. It's time to get things worked out with God right now. Anybody? Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the power of your word. We will remain saying, devil, you cannot have my son. You cannot kill my son, not even through the legal system. And Father God, from the bottom of our hearts, we pray on behalf of our sons, yes, each one of them. Yes. Turn their hearts back to you, yes, and they shall come. Yes. Holy Spirit, I pray that you may speak to them in such a powerful way that they'll be frightened, mm-hmm, and they will be unable to say no, yes, when you're speaking to them. Take away the stubbornness of their hearts. And in the name of Jesus, I pray that all the scales may fall from their eyes. If friends are leading them astray, I pray that they will get sick and tired of their friends. If they are living a life of sin, I pray that they will get tired of sinful life and will search after you. We bind our sons and daughters to the kingdom of God. Yes. And we declare, devil, you cannot have our children in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.